Isaiah chapter 7. It's one of my favorite places in the Bible. Tonight we're going to challenge you with the Word. I think the Word is always a challenge, right? For the most part. But tonight's a challenge to not be afraid to step into what God calls you to do. Our flesh and Satan, and a lot of times we don't know which ones. That's Isaiah chapter 6. I'm sorry. Isaiah chapter 6. But anyway, our flesh and Satan, a lot of times we don't know which one, is constantly trying to keep us from what God wants us to do. Correct? What God wants us to do. Right? His will is going to be fulfilled, but what God is wanting us to do. Right? And we get to these places in our lives where we don't want to get too close, because if we get too close, we're afraid something bad is going to happen in our flesh. Or Satan makes it sound like something bad is going to happen. You know, like when I first started getting into ministry, and people would say, you better be careful. God sends you to Africa, you know. You better be careful. God will send you some third world country. And I'm like, why would I be careful? I don't understand be careful. You know what I mean? What do you mean? What am I trying to be careful? You know, because when you first get saved, and I knew I had a call in my life, I wasn't trying not to find out what God wanted me to do. I was trying to find out exactly what He wanted me to do, and I wanted to do it, right? But, you know, and God will take you. He will put you in some places where absolutely your flesh will think, I can't do this, or I'm scared to do this. Or, and let me give you some of the things why. How would I be able to afford this, right? How about my wife and kids? How would they be protected, right? Where will we live? God, how about my home, you know? And if we really get serious, well, how about the comforts of what I have, right? But God's like, man, if you ever, you know, and that's kind of where we're going to be at today, why would the devil keep you away from that so much, and why would your flesh be so against it if it was a bad thing? You know what I'm saying? Are y'all ready? Have I gave y'all enough time to get to Isaiah chapter 6? All right, let's get into the Word, because I got a lot of information here, and hopefully we get where we want to be. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Praise God. Praise God. That's going on right now. That's been going on always. Amen? Always. Eternity don't have a time. Heaven don't have time. But that's always been. God's always been sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, from every kingdom, good and bad. Praise God. Praise God. I'm sitting here thinking, man, what happens with the next election? What happens with our government? What happens? God's like, I'm still high and lifted up. Amen? I'm still, His train, what it is His train is a direct connection to the link of His reign. Guess what? There's no end. There's no succession. There's no other God. There's no other kingdom. There's no other rule. God is God. That's amazing. King Uzziah was a good king. He was a good king. Isaiah loved him. Man, he's a good king. When he passed away, it broke his heart. So I believe God said, while your heart's broken over something that you loved, let me show you something that's greater. Amen? And Uzziah did something weird too. One time he went up into the temple to worship, and he bypassed the priest. And God is wanting to show him something. There's only one king priest, and it's not you. It's me. Amen? There's only one that's holy enough to be king and priest, and that's us. That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God. Don't ever try to do what I do. Boy, that's good. In that same year, I mean, Isaiah was heartbroken and tore up, and God said, let me take you a little higher. Wouldn't you like to go a little bit higher? Man, sometimes we need to change our focus. Sometimes I heard somebody today said, I've stopped telling God about all my problems. I'm going to start telling my problems about my God. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes we need to stop focusing on what's wrong and try to figure out, wait a minute, what's God doing? Amen? Because we act like we're going to God for the very first time and saying, hey, Lord, guess what? He's like, what? No. He's watching us. And I'm not telling you not to go to God in prayer with concerns and needs, but go to Him with a different kind of attitude. God, I understand you're God. I know you're in control. I believe you can handle the situation. My problem's not big to you, God. I guarantee you, this ain't nothing to you. It's concerning me or it's bothering me. But God, I'll turn it over to you because I know you're God. Because you're still high and lifted up. God, help me get to another level. Lord, let me look and see that this is a temporary world. These are temporary issues. This is a temporary problem. I want to get to that place where it's an eternal solution. Amen? Because I only know one thing. God's either trying to work something in you or work something out of you. If you're in trouble, guess what? God's trying to work on you or He's trying to work something out of your life. Amen? That's all it is. You say, wait a minute, what's God trying to show me? What do I need to change or what needs to go? That's scary in itself. God said, hey, look, get to a higher level of thinking with me. Come up here. And that's what He did to Isaiah. I love what He did. He took him up. Can we get a little nerdy right here in verse 2? Oh, taking permission, I guess. I'm going to get a little bit nerdy with you if it's all right. Above it stood the seraphims. Listen to this. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. He had six sets of wings. These seraphim, these servants of fire that were going and flying over the throne of glory. One set of wings, and I can't explain this, it's such an awesome thing. One set of wings covered their eyes because they couldn't look directly on the glory of God. One set of wings kept them moving in any direction at any moment to go and do whatever God wanted them to do. And one set to cover their feet because they were unworthy and they wanted to be humble. And our feet are unworthy to be revealed in your presence. They were like, man, we're not worthy to be here. Those are seraphims. And I told you this to be nerdy. Ezekiel explains them identically. Amen? Isaiah explains them identically. John the Revelator explains them identically. Amen? These are three different people in three different times when they got a glimpse into glory, when they got a glimpse into eternity, seeing these angelic beings, these seraphims, and explained them, pinned them down word for word, identical. Six sets of wings, covering their eyes, covering their feet, flew, and they said, holy, holy, holy. This goes on all the time. It was going on in Ezekiel's time. It was going on in Isaiah's time. And it was going on in John the Revelator's time. And guess what? It's going on in our time. Guess what? If I had three witnesses of that caliber who sat down and said, these are the ones I've seen, wouldn't you begin to think that this place called heaven is pretty awesome? And guess what? There's some beings up there that we really can't explain, right? We don't know exactly how to explain those. But if three people at three different times over hundreds of different years got a glimpse into glory and seen them and pinned them down exactly the same in their understanding of what they look like, wouldn't you start to believe, wait a minute, there's some evidence of this is what's going on in glory? I'm going to tell you, the Bible side of me, when I read this, I keep thinking, wait a minute, Ezekiel's seen that. Wait a minute, John's seen that. That means that is going on. And guess what? When we get there, not when we get there, not if, not maybe, when we get there, we're going to sit there and go, there's that thing. Amen? There's one of them right there. Eagle head, cow head, man head, lion head. Well, I see it. Now, some of you are saying, well, what's that mean? Hey, I ain't never seen one either. But if somebody wrote down three different times and three different people peeked into glory and said, hey, I see it. I see an eagle head. I see a lion head. Amen. I see a cow's head. I see a man's head. I see the wings. Amen. I start to think, wait a minute, they all seen the same thing. That operation is rocking on in glory right now. Holy, holy, holy. When I hear that, I understand. John the Revelator said, holy, holy, holy. I start to think, wait a minute, God loves to be praised. And when I think of that, I start thinking of what we do in our churches. We better take our praise a little more serious. Our praise is not about us. It's about Him. If He's got angels who continuously, every one of them recorded it, their job, one of their jobs is to say He's holy. That's praise. That's adoration. That's lifting up. So then He made us. And we know He made us to worship Him. Why do we not? Well, I worship Him when I feel like it. That's not what it says. We should worship Him when we don't feel like it, more than when we feel like it. Amen? Abraham worshiped. The very first person who the plumb line of worship is Abraham. The first time the Bible even speaks of worship, it's Abraham and Isaac. Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain of Mount Moriah to slay him. Amen? You think he felt like it? He turns to the servants and he says, me and the lad will go yonder to worship. What? Our worship is, hey man, I'll stick both hands up and praise. Oh, I'll praise Him because I'm going good. Abraham says, I'll praise Him with tears running down my face. My heart broke. My nerves shot. Me not knowing what God's going to do with my only begotten son who I prayed for, begged for, waited for. Now I'm having to give Him up. Well, I'm going to worship Him. That's one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. Amen? Isaac is a picture of Jesus. Abraham is a picture of God. He's going up that mountain and Isaac's carrying the wood on his back for a burnt sacrifice. Hey, Dad! Where is the sacrifice? God will provide Himself a sacrifice. Wow! Yes, He did. But Himself! You don't get that kind of answer. You don't get that kind of peace unless you're willing to worship God when you don't feel like it. He was waiting to give the answer. You know what? We would think, I don't know. Let's just sit down until God tells us something else. No, they kept moving towards what God wanted them to do. This is going on. Holy, holy, holy. I can't wait to see these creatures. I can't wait to see it. But I don't have to see it to know that if you have three witnesses and they give the same account, it's going on. That's the nerdy side of me. I was reading that, and I was reading the other day in Revelations, and I rolled up on that, and I knew I was going to preach this. And I'm like, hey, hey, here's another description of these guys. And this is what they do. That's neat. That's just the nerdy side of me. I like when something, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Somebody said, what do you read all the time? I read the Bible a lot. But people volunteer me books. I read some of them. But you know what you're going to catch me in most of the time? That right there. I know I'm not the most exciting person in the world, but I still ain't got over this 66-page love letter that God wrote. I mean, I kind of like it. This guy told me the other day, he said, I'm in seminary. I was like, awesome. He goes, you ever thought about going? I said, I did, but God told me not to. I wasn't against him and he wasn't against me. But then we got to talking, he's doing that, and he said, man, I had to buy $600 worth of books to get in that thing. And I said, that's awesome. I just got that one. Oh, no, I'm sorry, ain't that funny? I said, man, how many books do you need to learn about Jesus? No, I'm just kidding. I give him a hard time, but you know what I'm saying? And sometimes I sneak in a word. Don't tell him. I love guys go to seminary. I don't care. Every once in a while I'll say, what's it like down there at the cemetery? I mean seminary. Oh, I'm sorry. Woo! Hey, don't record that last part, Kyle. Don't put it out. You're too late. It's going to get out there. Somebody will know that I was giving him a hard time. Verse 4, and the post of the door, look, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with the smoke. That same smoke, you'll find it in Genesis when they built the tabernacle, and God would come down and visit his people. There would be a smoke that filled the tabernacle, and the smoke would reside over the opening in the tabernacle. Listen, and it would say the glory of God would show up, and guess what the people would do? They would want to worship and sacrifice, but every one of them would fall down on their faces and say, "Oh, God is so holy." That's God. When God shows up, his glory takes over. You ain't got to preach. You ain't got to shout. You ain't got to run. He does it all. Everybody tells me, how do you know when God really shows up? When God shows up, he enables you. No, he disables you. He does. He pulls the plug on all the stuff that you think you're good at. He just pulls that plug out. He becomes the preacher, the singer, the worshiper, and all you can do is say, "Oh, he's good. He's good." I can't wait till we have those times. I love those times in this church when God shows up and you can't do nothing but cry and shout and weep and just get out of the way. Somebody say, "Are you going to preach?" I've got to. You going to sing? I ain't got to. God's here. What else are we going to do? Listen, have you noticed nobody else there? But Isaiah's just standing there looking in the glory. And he said, "Man, they don't need nothing. They got it all. They got God." The glory's there. The glory. Man, I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't. Could you imagine what that's going to be like? Man, we're like a spent shell down here. We spend 30 minutes with God. We're useless. We get it. We get up there. We get that new glorified body. We can stay. I mean, I'm glad we're going to get one because, man, that'd be amazing. Because, I mean, you'd just be jelly, man. And the post of the door moved. My gosh. I can't wait to get there. Verse 5. Then said I. Who's this? Who said that? Then said I. Who said that? Isaiah. Is Isaiah a holy man? Or is he a righteous man? We got to be. He's a prophet. I'll give you a little background. Isaiah, a lot of times Jesus would go into the temple or the synagogue to preach, he would ask for one scroll, the scroll of Isaiah. Amen? God trusted him a little bit, right? Trusted his calling, right? Look what he did when he first realized where he was at. Here's this holy man. Here's a man of God. Amen? Let's just go there. A man of God, right? Whoa. What does he say? Look at this. Then said, "Woe is me." Whoa. Amen? Woe is me. He just took one good look at God and the surrounding that he was in and said, "Oh, I don't belong here. Woe is me." Amen? Ain't that good? Guys, listen, I don't want to wear you out because I know you're blood-bought, you're saved, you're born again. But every once in a while, wouldn't it be all right for us to reverence who God is? Sometimes think about how we're living and what we're doing. And when we try to come to the house of God, maybe we got a little dirt, blemish on us. Instead of just saying, "God, you know," maybe we come every once in a while and say, "Whoa, God, help me. You know, I don't want to worship yet. I don't want to praise yet. I don't want to preach yet. God, I'd like to spend a little time just saying, woe is me, God. I ain't unsaved, but God, I ain't exactly where I need to be." Amen. Y'all okay? Is that good? Man, I like that, man. Sometimes I like when God baptizes me in a baptism of my own tears. Lets me know exactly who I am and who he is. Lets me understand, hey, without him, I'd be wretched. Isaiah says, "I speak for God, but my goodness, he's God, I'm not. Woe is me, for I am undone." Holy fun. It says, "For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Golly bum. He said, "Man, I am a dead man. I can't behold this. He implemented everybody. I'm wretched, they're wretched." He said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." You know what that means? God says, "Out of the heart proceedeth wickedness." Amen? Every man's heart's wicked. He said, "I'm a wicked man. Everything, my heart's wicked." Golly, bum. This is a man of God. And he said, "There, and I come from a people of unclean lips. We are unclean." Now, this is really neat. Now, can I say, right, if you take notes right here, it says, where Isaiah is right here is where we are sometimes when we get in. When we're confronted with God wanting us to be more or better or different than we are now. Y'all okay? Maybe, okay, God's wanting more from Isaiah, right? God wants more from us. The first place you got to get to is, woe is me. I ain't no good for this. Amen? And that's an okay place to be. Amen? I worry more about somebody who comes to God and says, I'm good. I think I can do this. I'm better than everybody. That worries me more than anything. Isaiah says, woe is me. I don't deserve to be here. Amen? Now see, what I'm saying is, you got to get close anyway. Amen? Even though you are not worthy and you don't feel worthy, you still need to get close to the God things. Amen? What I mean is, you got to press towards your church. You got to press towards the Word of God. You got to press towards reading. And you got to press towards service for God. Because in that service, you're going to find your calling. We don't press that as much in the church in 2018 as we used to about serving God. We don't serve God because we're getting saved. We serve God because we are saved. Amen? We're going to show our faith as alive because of the works we do. And God, what He wants to do is He wants to put you close to something where you get a desire to do it, even though it scares you to death. And you feel inept. Or you feel like you're not worthy. And you know that you're not without Christ. Are y'all good? Are y'all seeing where He's at? Look, this is the calling of Isaiah. Isaiah is now just being processed in the use of God. And the first thing he says is, whoa! Woe is me. I should be a dead man. I don't belong here. Don't worry. God will remedy that. Amen? He will fix that. Verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched the lips, and the iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. That is impossible unless Christ's sacrifice is already recorded in glory. That'll blow your mind, won't it? It has to be. How can it be? How can you get sins forgiven without Jesus? The sacrifice is already there. The live coal represents Jesus Christ. The angel took the live coal and touched him in his lips, touched him in his unclean place, and guess what? Made him clean, purged him of his sin. Jesus fixes your unworthy by touching you who should be untouchable, but because of what Jesus did, makes you touchable by Him. My God. Whew. Isaiah's like, man, I'm not worthy. God said, don't worry, we'll fix that. We got a sacrifice for that. We got a sacrifice that makes everybody worthy who takes it. Amen? And guess what? God touches you in the place that you need to be touched. Amen? He heals you in the place. He forgives the sin that you need to be forgiven of. All your sins, but everybody's got something. Amen? Everybody's got that area, amen, of their life that they struggle with. It might be similar to a lot of people. It might be different than some people. But guess what? God can forgive sin. Amen? I love that, don't you? As I said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Jesus can fly right over. God just comes right over there, touches him. Right? Look at this. I love this. Now, he's still, woe is me. I'm not worthy. Now he's touched. He's forgiven. If you're saved here tonight, if you've believed in Jesus Christ, if you believed in His sacrifice at Calvary, if you put your trust and faith in Him, if you've repented from your sins, you are just like Him. You're whole. Your sins have been purged. Amen? Look at this. Verse 8, also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Why the conversation? Did you notice? If he wasn't there, he couldn't hear it. If he hadn't been touched, it wouldn't matter if he heard it. But he says, woe as I am. Then he's touched, and now he hears. He's still in the same place. Come on. Yeah. Hey, he's still in the same spot. He's still in the place that scares him to death. He's still in the place that he goes, I don't feel worthy. I'm not really if I'm competent to do this. I'm still standing in that place. But the difference is, he's confronted that. He's been touched by God. And now he's hearing what God wants. Who will go for us? You can't explain it, can you? You can't explain why you want to do what you want to do. You just heard it. Amen? First time I ever heard, we need somebody to speak. Huh? Amen? Will you come preach for us? I don't feel worthy. I've been touched by God. I heard. Amen? People ask me, what does it feel like to preach? It's scary death. My first few years of preaching, man, people would call me and say, hey, will you come down here to preach? We want you to come down to the prison and preach. I'm like, yeah, I'll come. I'm excited. Yeah, all right. Hang up. Oh, gosh, what am I going to do? You know what I'm saying? I don't know what to say. You know? That's it. I don't know what I'm going to do. Guess what? I heard, though, right? I heard. First time I ever heard about homeless people when I was, there's homeless people. It rung in my ear. Wait a minute. They need stuff. We need to do something. Amen? That's how it works. Are you any better? No. Have you been touched? Yeah. Did you hear? Absolutely. What are you going to do when you hear? Man, can y'all, where is he at? He's not physical, but spiritual. He's standing in glory. No, never mind. He's got to be the most, he's the least. Right? He's the lead. Man, you're standing in glory. You're going to say, hey, God, hey. Right? Here I am. Send me. Man, don't that sound a little brash when you're standing in glory? Don't you have anybody else? Got an angel around? Seraphim? One of them guys? Huh? Anybody? It's not what it... Golly, the fire of God's calling, it don't make any sense to anybody. But when you hear, I love this. And he heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Here I am. I wonder how strong the voice was when he said it. There ain't no other reason why I'd be here, is it? Nobody else raising their hand. I heard it. Here I am, Lord, send me. What'd you say, Isaiah? I couldn't hear you. Here I am, Lord, send me. But I thought you should have been dead. Oh, yeah, I should have been. But you touched me. And you're speaking loud enough for me to hear it, so you must want me to answer. God's in me. Here I am. It's in me. I'm qualified now. It's in me. That's the scariest word you'll ever tell God. That's the scariest word you're going to ever tell God. But they're the most satisfying words you'll ever tell God and perform. You'll find life like you've never found it. You'll breathe like you've never breathed. I don't tell many people this, and I guess I'm going to tell y'all this. There's been times when I've preached and I'll have to drive for a distance afterwards, like to my house and down to Dunlap or across this mountain on a Wednesday or Thursday or some other time. And I'll tell God, I said, man, God, I'm alive. I love this. I don't know why you called me, but man, I love this stuff. I love this. It's like breathing. I feel more alive when I'm doing this than anything else I ever got to do. God, I don't know why you entrusted me with your word, but man, I don't take it for granted. Man, I love this stuff. I do. When I'm preaching sometimes, it's like something takes off. It's like God goes, shh, and just shuts me down, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God's on you. And man, boy, it's like, if you ever find out what God wants you to do, and you do it, you'll walk away. I don't care what it is. You'll be like, man, God, that was awesome. Thank you. You know what the great thing about that is? People's lives are going to be changed. People's lives. All of them? No. Some of them? Yes. One of them? That's enough. When you have dinner, when you have lunch, when you see somebody still alive who should have been dead, and the only thing you did was sowed in, you used your calling, who will go for me? Here I am. Send me. God, I want to go. My flesh is afraid, and Satan's wearing me out. You know why? Because he wants you to stay comfortable in that place that you've always stayed. I already told you this. But look at this. Verse 9, he said, go and tell the people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make their heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the house without a man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men from far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But ye in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten, and a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. And he said, why is that important? Why did you read that last part? Because Jesus read that last part. Jesus quoted that last part. 800 to 1,000 years after Isaiah wrote it. Amen. What you're going to do today will ring out into eternity. What you do with your life will ring out into eternity. Is God going to still be able to use it in eternity? You know what we need to be as a church? Some of y'all need to do this. Some of y'all need to come here on this altar today and say, God, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. I'm tired of just existing. I didn't preach this message to you tonight for you to go, man, that is cool about Isaiah. I preached that message for you tonight where you can get close enough to that God thing that He calls you into something that scares you, but something that delivers a lot of people, amen, to the kingdom of God. You say, well, I don't know if I can. You absolutely can. Because you've been touched and you heard it. Amen, you heard the message. So let's stand as Scott comes to get a song, and Miss Betsy comes to get a song. If you've been dealing with something, God's been on your heart,